college football rankings.
Uh-oh!
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster.
Let me break it down.
College football rankings. It's all cheese.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And they put Ohio State over Michigan. You know, I guess because they see something. But fine, go for it.
Today's guests, Commanders head coach Ron Rivera, 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa, host of The Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick, Emmy Award-winning host Stephen Colbert, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hey, I have an Emmy, too. I'm just saying, Stephen Colbert, Susie Schuster, it's really the same conversation. Hi, everybody. I'm in today for Rich Eisen, my husband, who's a little under the weather. I knew it. T.J. Jefferson, Jay Felly, Chris Brockman, by the way, somewhere. Should be here shortly. I'm kind of waiting.
He's expanding brand awareness.
Is that what he's doing?
Yes.
If he's not walking in with a hot Starbucks, he might as well just not come at all. Do you know what I mean?
You know Brockman. He's not going to bring you a Starbucks.
Of course he's not. He doesn't bring me anything.
Just eliminate that thought from your mind.
Yeah. He doesn't bring me anything. Hold on a second. Breaking news.
Oh, here it
Best
comes.
Best dad ever.
Get that
he's
out of
in
here.
Bed. Okay, he's in bed.
Munich kicked his
men,
butt, huh?
Men. You guys just take it. It's a lot harder for you, jet lag. I said, go for a jog, but he didn't listen. Hold on. Here's my sign. Hold on.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen Hilton.
That's right, Charles. You know it. Ooh, Charles in the news this week. We'll talk about that a little. Had a little bit of criticism for the Nets. Hold on. Best mom ever this
get that
way.
Center,
man. How's that? Is that good?
Yo, boom, kaboom. Right.
Hi, Roku. Happy to be with you guys. Yeah, a little pomp and circumstance. Say hi to all of you on Roku out there. I've missed being with you. And yeah, you know, it was one of those nights, TJ. It was one of those nights where, you
one
know,
those,
Rich got back.
One of those crazy nights.
Crazy nights. We can sing if you want. This is an off-the-rails edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Usually, I take the time, I prep, I get to like...
You bring liquor?
Take the day off, I bring some booze, I sleep. And so, yeah, Rich got back from Munich, and, you know, it's kind of like that whole... My husband never has a second cup of coffee at home from airplane, right? I had this feeling, Jay, I had a feeling that he wasn't feeling great.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going around. And he looked like, what was the old, like Looney Tunes, like the hang dog? Remember the old dog?
Come on, think. Droopy.
Rich would know this because he has so much useless information. But you guys remember,
right.
those of us over 45, you know, it's like a hang dog, you know, that kind of thing. And I just thought, ugh. So he just felt like he had the mung last night. So we just said, you know what?
Yeah, Droopy.
Just call me Taylor Heineke. I'm here. I'm here. He's Carson Wentz. Ron Rivera will join us in the next segment.
No. You're not Taylor Heineke because, as you said, you've got trophies. You've got championships.
He's three and one.
Yeah, so you got to be.
I'm 1-0.
You know, I don't know. There's something. No disrespect to Taylor Heineke, but like, you know, that backup position is a little bit.
I was just trying to pull the show together, TJ.
You know what I mean?
I'm just trying to say that Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, will join us coming up next.
Huge win for them.
Great win for them. And, you know, I was so funny when I was doing my 5 minutes of research for the night. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. All these TV people, they look at you and they talk, and it seems like they know what they're talking about off the top of their heads, but they're reading prompter, right? So that's what people always say, like, how do you remember so much when you're sitting in the anchor seat? And I say, they're reading prompter.
I'm glad you brought that up, Susie Schuster, because, you know, in lieu of, like, trying to sound bitter or anything to any of these other sports shows, we don't have any of that. We don't have... teleprompters.
There's no prompter
the
here.
Stuff that we say is coming straight off the top of the dome. When we're pulling stats, when we're pulling old stuff, it's like we don't have a researcher.
No.
It's like, you know, we had Glenn Powell come in. I like him. Yeah, I heard.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about Tom Cruise sending out cake to different people every Christmas.
The Dones coconut cake? Is that what he said?
He sends to some bakery with the recipe and has them make it, and then Rich was like, well, you know, you should use that picture. And Glenn was like, I don't know that Tom's ever eaten cake. And right off the top of my head, I was like, wait a minute. The Outsiders that came out in 83, Tom Cruise was in the movie and he was eating chocolate cake during the scene.
And that's the last time he had chocolate cake, by the way.
But Glenn, after the interview, came up to me, goes, "That was an amazing callback." And I was just like, I just have seen that movie so much. So, yeah, we don't have prompters. We don't have prompter. That stuff here, man.
Prompters for babies.
Right?
We don't have prompter. And the reason why I'm telling all of you this is that I'm going to read you something. Because I'd like to be like, hi, everybody. Ron Rivera's 4 and 5. I mean, the fact of the matter is I'll read it to you. It's the second time in 3 seasons that he's taken a Washington Commanders team. Can we say Commanders for 3 seasons? But with a losing record on the road to hand an undefeated team its first loss of the season, the Commanders entered the game with a 4-5 record, went up to Philadelphia, handed the Eagles their first loss following an 8-0 start. That's pretty incredible. There's something that he does as a coach, and we'll ask him, like, what is it, and what's the best piece of advice you've gotten? Because I love the fact that I like to see somebody undefeated go down. I mean, I appreciate those years with the Pats, and we had that great run with the Miami Dolphins. I get it, but there's something really satisfying about watching a team on the way up chop the head off of the king on the top.
Especially for me as a Cowboys fan, you're talking 2 of my 3 or 4 least favorite teams. So I had a conundrum that game, but I was probably low-key rooting for the Washington football team.
I would imagine that you were. Jimmy Johnson's got a new book coming out.
Okay.
Why don't we call him tomorrow?
Can you do that?
Speaking of Cowboys, I can call anybody.
I mean, your Rolodex is incredible.
I'm shameless. I'll call anybody. Doc Rivers, by the way, calling in.
Nice.
He better call in because I know where he lives. And then Dan Patrick's going to call in.
DP, are you with me?
DP's going to call in just to kill some time. And I was so appreciative. I pinged him last night. I was like, hi, Dan. Tap dance. But I'm happy to have him call in. Tomorrow, Jeremy Schapp will call in to preview his E60 on the band is on the field, which is also tied in with Ron Rivera because, of course, he was a linebacker for Cal game.
First time I knew that. It was right this moment. See what you're doing? You're educating me.
Do I have to tell you everything, TJ?
Well, maybe not everything, but some stuff for sure.
What else can we talk about today? How about Titans Packers, Derrick Henry? Yeah,
Thursday night football.
Aaron Rodgers,
Thursday
night football.
You never know what we're going to get on Thursday night, Susie. That's the thing. It's so some
can
of
you
these
say crapshoot? I mean, that's a tough one.
You can say pretty much anything on Roku.
Right.
I mean, except for those words that George Carlin said that you can't say.
That is a whole different ball of wax, and I'm not willing to go there.
Well, it's not.
But yeah, I mean,
we're still new here.
Yeah. Let's not wear out our welcome yet, right? Hi, everybody.
Hey, shout out to all the people at Roku.
Yeah, by the way, let's not wear out our welcome on one show. Come on. Poor Rich is already feeling crappy. I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to give him a heart attack while he's sitting in bed. I'm sure with two dogs, you know, sitting there staring, hoping that he drops something
right
on their laps. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, we've got a good game maybe tonight, right? And then what about this game in Buffalo? What about the thunderstorm, the thunder snow that's supposed to come in? And yeah, I mean, the last time the NFL was forced, let's pretend that I know this off the top of my head, right? The last time, TJ, the NFL was forced to move a game was in 2014 with the Jets and the Bills. I mean, see, there you go. I had to peek down. But yeah, that's the last time they had to move a game. 3 feet of snow expected. The NFL right now investigating their other possibilities. Of course, in 2014, that game was moved to Detroit.
Detroit.
I believe it's available again. But, I mean, can you imagine? Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Those fans will show up.
Oh,
those fans will put on ski suits for days. They will sojourn through the snow to get to a football game. No
Absolutely.
Better set of fans for cold weather, except maybe you could say Green Bay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you hear that they're thinking about moving the game, and I was just like, well, okay, that's just for the on-field purposes, because those fans are going to come to this game. They'll probably come the day before and shovel out the stadium if they ask them to. Bills Mafia is just insane, and I mean that in the best possible way. So fans are going to come. But then I saw a really funny meme on Instagram today.
I know where you're going.
Probably saw it. It was a bunch of, like, there's going to be 6 feet of snow, but Kyler Murray and Nick Chubb are both 5'11", so it was just like
Singletary.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of memes of, like, you could see, like, snow and something under the snow, but not really poking through it. Like,
it was Chubb celebrating. He's like sticking out of an igloo.
By the way, cue the sideline reporter. Hey, everybody, I'm standing next to this giant snowbank that's over my head. It's really, really crazy. Back to you. Right? I mean, that's what's going to happen, right? I think I had to stand next to a snowbank in Colorado one time. I mean, it's something humiliating, like boy, I know a lot about the game, but let me stand next to a snowbank. It's going to be a great live shot. You know, that kind of thing.
I sense that you miss those days.
I really don't. I really don't. But I have, I mean, I had one game that was so cold in Denver.
How cold was it?
That's cute. So cold that I went to go, and this is when, was Shannon Sharp, let me think, what year, I mean, so this is like way back in the day. It was Shannon, I think.
Okay.
Well, it was like, Denver, come over, yeah. Huh?
Well, if it's Denver, yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember saying, here, come warm your hands up over here. And I put my hands a little too close to the blower,
and they burned,
and my gloves burned off. You're welcome.
First of all, I like the fact that you're working, you're doing sideline, and you're worried about Shannon Sharp keeping his hands warm. Like,
No, he was worried about my hands.
Oh, he was worried about, okay, gotcha.
I'm not worried about Shannon Sharp. I'm worried about number one, and it was so cold. It was Denver. Denver's not, it's not a balmy place to do a football game.
Greg Olsen was calling a game on Sunday, and I can't remember what player it was, but they got really close to the heater, and that was something he said. He was like, you know, you got to watch out for those things. You can't get too close. He goes, I once burned the rubber off the bottoms of my cleats once by putting them too close to the heat. So I can see you burning your hands.
Yeah, it was not a good thing. Let's talk about who else is on the show today. We've got Nick Bosa calling in. I know that he did an interview with Rich. We're going to have
that on tape.
Yeah. So he called and not calling in. Also, Stephen Colbert. I mean, I think that's an interview that Rich would get really giddy about. You know, he's going to try to sound cool. He's going to have like the Rich Eisen composure. But I know deep down, he's kind of psyched about it. Like he's a little fanboyish, I would imagine.
Well, you know why? Because it's his new favorite thing.
Oh, pickleball.
Pickleball, yeah.
There are so many pickleball leagues now.
The amount of leagues that are popping up, the amount of celebrities that are purchasing pickleball teams. I mean, I've been hearing rumblings that they're talking about this as a potential Olympic sport.
Somebody called into Dan's show on the way down here. As I was hurtling down the 405 with my coffee in hand.
And we know how you drive. Fast.
I was only going 81, and I was keeping pace with the traffic.
Were your hands on the wheel for over 50% of the drive?
Well, she said she's holding
which
coffee.
Hand? So. Which hand?
Your dominant hand.
Which hand?
I don't know which one's dominant.
One hand was on the wheel.
Okay.
So you got one hand on the coffee.
By the way, I brought my Yellowstone mug because we are back in business, nice. Baby. Yes. I'm so excited.
12 million people watched that first episode, something like
and
that.
And they better because Beth Dutton is my spirit animal, the best character. I mean, Beth Dutton, I don't know if you guys have seen this.
By the way,
heads up, we're all over the place today. Jay Fell, she is crazy. She's insane. She is gorgeous.
That is my type.
Okay, I have so much to say about that. Is that because she unrobes all the time? Is that because she's saucy? Is that because she's willing to...
It says more about him than it does about anything else. Just say that.
Please, I mean, she's everyone's type. She's the hottest character and has a thick, gorgeous British accent, too. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. I've never seen the show, so I'm not sure who that is.
Oh, it's pretty special. It's pretty saucy. It's pretty dark, but 1883 is also amazing. The brother show that goes with it that Sam Elliott stars in.
I saw an episode of that.
There's a third one too, right? They're doing
looks like Harrison Ford
with Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
which I'm very excited about. Name drop. I work with Sam Elliott. He is pretty special. Like Sam Elliott, yes. Everything you want him to be.
That's who we should call up.
Oh, that's a great idea. I think I'll see if I can get him to call in tomorrow.
I've got great ideas.
You have great ideas.
I spent some time with Sam Elliott because he was on the ranch. I got to meet him there. And he once called me one of his friends. And I got to tell you that to this day, that's kind of made me feel good about myself.
By the way, and he would mean it.
He would mean it.
He's not one of those guys. Like, he's not an actory kind of guy.
You should get him to comment on Brockman's mustache.
Does he have a mustache?
You haven't seen
him watching?
No, I don't watch. I listen in the car and call in.
The amount of times I'll randomly get a text from Susie during the show about usually something about Rich is either what he's worn or something he said. It's just, she's definitely out there paying attention.
Well, what happens is, what I was saying was, what happens is I'll get in the car and I'll turn it on for a second. I go through the Roku app, right? Mm-hmm. And I listen to the show, And I do. I have a trigger finger to that goes directly to Brockman or to TJ. And I'm like, by the way. And that's just terrible. And like, imagine what it's like being married to me. How awful is that? Can you imagine you go to work and your wife is like, ping, ping, ping? Like, that would be so miserable.
It would be miserable, right? In normal circumstances, if anyone's like, you know, kind of nitpicking your work. I'm not saying you're nitpicking. But when you have someone at home that's doing that who has also done what you've done and also has more of those gold statuettes than you do.
Yeah,
I have to imagine that would be particularly kind, but I'm sure Rich looks at it as just, you know, constructive criticism to help him get better.
Right. And also one of us has a 7-day-a-week TV job and one of us just fills in when her husband's under the weather. So there's that too.
He's had too much
but like
schnitzel.
I said earlier, the fact that he could tag you in, like who has that?
Right.
It's not a lot of husbands and wives. Hey, I'm not feeling great. You got this?
Yeah, like who, amazing. Who could have done that in history? Like Lucy and Desi, the Captain and Tennille, you know, Fred and Wilma.
Sonny and Cher.
You know,
so we have multiple poll questions today. And because you brought that up, that could be a poll question. Who's your favorite? Because I want calls today, people.
Yeah, get on the line, folks.
Calls.
Terzo, we know you're calling Jeff from Detroit.
Yeah, I like calls, people.
Alan Dallas.
Where are you, buddy? And so, and other people, because I have two things I want to know. Number one, who's your favorite, like, you know, Sonny and Cher? Joy and Regis.
How could I forget about Regis?
That's a good one.
Joy, that should have been number one.
More importantly, here's what I'm fascinated about. I now have to take Xander to Lizzo tomorrow night, right?
Because
Rich was, that was his date, and I think, you know, I told him he's going to shut it down.
Xander was really looking forward to going to Lizzo, too.
By the way, so much. And Xander said, Mom, I don't want you to take me. You don't know any of the songs. So I might get punted for his dance teacher. And then we're going to SCU CLA on Saturday.
Okay.
And I told Rich, I'm like, you're not going. You're shutting it down for Sunday. I will take the kids. And by the way, I love the Rose Bowl. But here's my question for you.
I don't know if that was serious or not.
What?
If you really love
it. Oh, I love the Rose Bowl.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh, I love the Rose Bowl. It's the most beautiful place to watch a game. Also, even better, the people who run the Rose Bowl are very kind and have invited us to go on the field. So it's like I get to kind of live a couple old memories. My first live shot ever after I lied to get my first job was in the Rose Bowl. So I have a lot of good memories of being there. But I digress. Here's my question for all of you out there, and I want to talk to Dan about this. Taylor Swift broke the internet the other day, right? I tried to get tickets to Taylor Swift, which is at SoFi here in Los Angeles. And people were texting me like, hey, can you get me tickets to SoFi because Rich works at SoFi? I'm like, Rich doesn't work at SoFi, number one. The network is next door to SoFi, number two. And number three, no, I can't get you Taylor Swift tickets. I can't even get them for myself because the internet crashed for all of us out there who had a code to try to get in, whatever, some code. What concert, TJ, and I want to know this from all of you out there, and Jay, same with you. I want to know what concert would you spend the entire day ruining a day of your life, one day on the planet, to get tickets for? What would be the concert at any time?
So this isn't like I can go back in time and pull somebody. This is like current, like right now, today?
I don't know. Just this is an off the rails edition.
Right,
what do you want to do?
As of right now, today, no one.
Do you know how many people sat there all day and they're angry?
Yeah.
The vitriol, the anger over sitting there and waiting.
Yeah.
I wonder who Doc Rivers would wait for.
I mean, look, if you could give me a concert where, well, no, I was fortunate enough to see Prince, so I saw that. I mean, obviously, if I could somehow conjure up Michael Jackson back, then yeah, I would sit online or on the phone all day for Mike or Biggie or Pac, you know, but other than that, you know, I don't know. There's not a whole lot.
Ozzy Osbourne from the past. You know, I don't want to see him now, current version, but.
You don't want to see the current version.
I mean, he was on.
You saw him,
yeah,
right?
It wasn't so great.
By the way, I'm trying to get Rich to buy the Crazy Train. You know, I want a drop coming in.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good drop, don't you think, for it to come in?
It
from
would
break?
Be perfect.
Right? I think, not a break, not a drop. What's it called when you ramp up for a, when you come back in? What's it called?
Oh, you're asking
a bumper.
Me.
It's a bumper.
A bumper.
By the way, I'm glad Mike Hoskins
also
had that one. By the way, what's happening over there? You're supposed to know the terminology for...
I'm Del Tufo's wife. I come in when he's not feeling good.
All right, 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, these are scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're going through right now. One thing is certain. It's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity that they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is NetSuite. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automatic business processes, and easily see where to save money. That's why 93% of customers say that they improved their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. What are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Ron Rivera joins us when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
The World Tournament of Soccer kicks off next week in Qatar, and to make sure you're up to speed, we present Qatar Kick Around. All this week, the Kick Around guys are providing a primer of episodes for those watching their very first World Tournament or anybody who just wants to learn more. And group previews all the way from A through H and predicting how they'll turn out. Will the U.S. even get out of their group? Will we get a surprise first-time winner? Or will we get the storybook ending of Messi finally lifting the trophy? Andy, Peter, and Lars are your soccer friends from the group stage to the final, all available at thekickaround.com or wherever you listen.
And we're back on The Rich Eisen Show. Freezing in the studio today, by the way. It's really chilly.
It's always cold in here. So that's why we're always wearing hoodies and jackets.
Yeah, but it's such a good thing. It's such a good thing that Brockman showed up and that he brought me a hot coffee. Wait a minute. No, he didn't. I'm sorry. Where's Chris Brockman? And there's somebody else there and some kind of crazy mustache.
I had to grow a mustache. That's why.
What's with the mustache?
I think I said it in passing that I was going to do it for Movember on here. And then I'm just kind of sticking to it. I don't think it's very popular at my house.
I dig it.
Is your upper lip warm or?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only part that's warm.
Wow.
No, not a fan? What do you think? What do you think?
I don't know what to say.
I told him just to rock the beard. Come back the beard game.
I'm not used to seeing this much hair near your face.
It's been a while. I mean, I had the huge beard, but that was like 6 years ago.
Yeah. But how's Sarah feel about this?
Like I said, I don't think she's a fan, but I think she's coming around.
No, she's not.
I mean, there's still 14 more days left in November.
Oh, by the way, she's not coming around, TJ Jefferson. She is not. I mean, look, I adore you. I think you're a great guy and a terrific human being. I might buy you a razor after this.
I have plenty of razors at home. I mean, because I got to do the head every day.
Why do guys like growing facial hair so much? What is it about the ability to grow facial hair that makes men feel manly?
Because you can.
Yeah, I think it's because you can. Yeah. Why do you do anything, Suze? Because you can. And I think when it comes to facial hair, not everybody can grow facial hair. Yeah.
That's true.
To be honest. You know, you see some of the guys out there like Steph Curry still can't. You know what I mean?
He can score
50, but he can't grow facial hair.
My beard hides stuff.
My beard is glorious. I'm going to tell you that. But I would go clean shaven if I could exchange that for some Steph Curry jump shot ability.
Or like a date with Halle Berry. Like if Halle Berry saw you at the Erwan, where you frequent.
First of all, I almost cursed on air at you.
And it's like, hey, I like you, sir. But, you know, if you just shaved that beard, we could go on a date. You would do it.
Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't make it out of Erwan. First of all, I've never been in Erwan. That's the first.
Not true.
First. So if I saw Halle, it would be in like Ralph's or Vaughn's or depending on the day of John's.
Pretend he's not bougie.
I saw her in Bristol Farms. Does that count?
Bristol Farms.
Bristol Farms.
That counts.
Yeah. I can't look at you.
That's how I feel next to him.
I'm having a hard time here.
Looks great.
The first time Feller said, he said he looked like a narc.
Yeah, I don't trust him anymore. I feel like if I do anything, he's going to tell on me.
I feel like he's going to deliver me a pizza. Do you know what I mean? Which, by the way, sounds kind of good about now. Can we get serious, guys? We've got Ron Rivera on the phone. Yes. I don't want to, take too long. Yeah, and by the way, like he's calling in it momentarily, and I just feel like we want to get somewhat. Well, yes, because, you know, and this is something I was learning about last night when I was cramming for the show today.
In five minutes,
was that he loves the Madden rules, and one of them is being on time. Right? Very, very important, right?
We're kind of loose with that around here. I don't know if you noticed.
By the way, I haven't been on time for about 50 years, but that's neither here nor there. So let's, as Greg Gumbel would say, no, wait, as Brian Gumbel, who, let me think. No, James. James would probably say, let's move on. That's my segue. Is that good? If I did the Bryant Gumbel.
You got to take the glasses off.
Let's move on.
And then you got to write in a notebook.
To a coach who unseated an undefeated team this past Monday in Philadelphia. We go now to Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. And I want to say thanks so very much for joining us, and thanks for taking the time.
No, thank you, Susie. I appreciate this.
So what did you figure out against the Eagles? How were you able to stop this undefeated team?
Well, one of the things that we've been working on is running the football and you know, getting having Brian Robinson back and really just kind of working himself back into shape was something that we really felt could be a thing for us. You know, trying to keep control of the ball, time of possession, we felt that would keep Jalen Hurts off the field.
Makes a lot of sense to keep the best player off the field, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Has your team turned a corner, do you believe?
Well, I think we're putting ourselves in position that, you know, we can play to that standard. We can play like that, you know, if we play to our abilities and do the things that we're capable of. And, you know, quite honestly, running the football is one of the things that I think we can do well.
Let me ask you about your quarterbacks. How's Carson Wentz doing coming along?
He's been coming along well. You know, he's been cleared to throw the ball. He was throwing the ball yesterday. He'll throw it again today. We haven't cleared him yet to return to practice. You know, and it's one of those things that just obviously takes time. And, you know, we'll see how he is after he throws it today. Yesterday he finished up. He didn't have any ill effects this morning. He was fine, got his treatment. And so he'll throw again today.
And what about Taylor Heinicke? I mean, he's gone 3-1 with him as the starter, but what are you liking the most about his development as a young player?
Well, you know, one of the things that's really been his you know, the way he plays. You know, he's a kind of let it all hang out type guy. You know, he's learning to be a little more patient. He's learning to take a little bit more of what's being given to him by the defenses rather than just trying to force the throws. And he's, you know, he's aware a little bit better in terms of pass rush. So he's been dumping the ball, getting the ball out of his hands. So he's not taking the big hits that he took last year. And the one thing I love about him, Susie, is I love the way he plays with that that underdog mentality, because his teammates feed off of his energy.
So what do you do as a head coach when you've got two good players and you've got two guys who can play at a high level? How do you use your gut to decide who's going to lead your team?
Well, the biggest thing, obviously, is listening to the players, you know, watching them, seeing how they respond, see how we're playing. And that's right now one of the things that, you know, I'm leaning on, you know, is that I've got a guy right now that's hot.
It's awfully hard to go when you're looking at two players, when somebody keeps going, keeps winning, and the guys rally around them. I mean, how do you take away? How do you as a coach decide that you're going to make a change like that?
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, believe me, it has honestly kept me up. I mean, I've thought about it a lot, and it's something I knew I would face eventually as a head coach, having to make a decision on a player like that.
What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received, and who is it from?
Coach Dicka, he told me a couple of things that I stick to. He says, Ron, don't ever let anybody on the outside make your decisions for you. He said, because when you start doing that and something goes wrong, they're not going to take the responsibility. And then John Madden told me, don't ever forget, you're the head coach. Everything will start and stop with you. So make your own decision. So I had two Hall of Famers basically tell me the same thing, and that's really go with, you know, what I believe in.
And he told you to be on time. I know that as well.
Yes, he did. That's one thing Coach Madden did tell you.
I want to pass along our condolences from Rich and from myself on your mother, Dolores, passing away this past Halloween. We were all so moved watching you after the game with your players around you, getting emotional, saying that your mother would have been proud. What was it like for you in that moment? What was going through your head?
You know, it's kind of crazy, Susan, because you never really get a chance to grieve and when you're in the NFL, unless it's truly the off season. You know, I lost my brother when we started training camp in 2015, and I really didn't have a chance to grieve it and until the season was over. I had an opportunity at the end of that game, you know, and just thinking about her and realizing that she would have been proud. But at that moment, I really couldn't speak to the guys. And I did. I went into my office, and I had a private moment, which was great, which really was. It was very cathartic.
Just to hear the players say, "We're with you, Coach," how did that make you feel in the moment?
You know, it made me feel supported. It really did, that the guys were there, that the players were, and coaches were there, our staff was there. It felt right. It really did.
You know, I was listening to Jimmy Johnson this morning on Dan Patrick talking about all that he missed with his own family because he was with his team families and missing things with his kids, missing things with his wife. And can you just talk to us about what it's like to live a duality, to have a family that you're working with as a coach, but also with a family at home?
You know, Coach is so true about that stuff because there's so much that you do miss. Little things, and I do kind of liken it to somebody that was in the military, because, you know, when my dad eulogized my mom, one of the things he said was that, you know, she really raised them by herself most of the time, and I feel like that to a degree with my wife and kids, that Stephanie has done so much, you know, while I've been busy, but I will also say kudos to my wife, too, because one thing Stephanie does is she demands for family time. She demands for her date night. She demands for her Daddy Fridays where she would come bring the kids to me and I would be able to spend time with them on those Friday afternoons after work. So, you know, I was very fortunate I have somebody like that. So it's tough. It really is. And you know, and sometimes I do deal with a little bit of the guilt.
Before I let you go, we'll talk about the 40th anniversary of the band is on the field game. Obviously, you are a linebacker against John Elway. 5 lateral passes in 23 seconds. We're going to have Jeremy Schapp on tomorrow to talk about the E60 doc that's coming out. But what is your greatest memory from that? And, you know, of course, I have to ask, was it an illegal forward lateral?
Oh, nothing was illegal. Everything was perfect above board. Are you kidding? You could have drawn up any better. just the euphoria of winning the game. You know, there are arch rivals, and, you know, Stanford isn't. And when you look around college football and in the NFL, when you have a rivalry game, you know, and I likened it, you know, there's a nice little book that's been written that came out called 5 Laterals and a Trombone. And the neat thing about that book is, you know, and I said it when I was interviewed for it, is that the neat thing about it is, Stanford, it's like your brother. You know, you want to set him straight. You want to, if you get in a fight, you want to beat him up, but you don't want to hurt him because he's your brother. And there's a lot of respect, I think, between Cal and Stanford, and that's what I think makes the rivalry so special. It's like when you watch Michigan, Ohio State. You know, you watch Auburn, Alabama. You know, there's these types of rivalries that just are very, very special, and it's kind of neat to be part of one of them.
Yeah, I'm taking the kids to SCUCLA tomorrow at the Rose Bowl, so that should be a lot of fun. Just last thing, what do you remember from watching the band storm the field, from watching the kids storm the field? What do you remember in that moment? Of course, it was 40 years ago. I mean, I don't remember what I did yesterday, but still, what do you remember?
No, that memory is very strong. I do remember seeing Kevin Moen crash into the trombone player in the end zone going, "We just scored. Oh, my God, we just scored." So that was, I can remember that. I was standing on the sideline, watch it as it unfolded. So,
can't thank you enough for your time. Have a great time out this weekend.
Cool. Thank you, Susie.
Thanks for your time.
All righty. Bye-bye.
He's a class act, isn't he, Chris Brockman?
100%. And it's crazy to think that, like, Ron was on the 85 Bears, right? Played for Mike Ditka. And he was in the band, is out on the field game. What a football life this guy's led.
He has met everybody. Yeah. He knows everybody. He met John Madden when he was 15 years old, walked up to him in Monterey, said to him, I'm going to be a football player someday. And then cut to, we just had him on the Rich Eisen show.
Amazing. And and the Washington Commanders are playing good football right now. Yeah. They've won 4 out of 5. They're now suddenly in the playoff mix in the NFC. Taylor Heineke is doing some things for them, and it gives them a new life and kind of an injection that their team kind of desperately needed, because it was spiraling really out of control this year. And they're back on track, and they're
knocked off
the Eagles.
The C word, the controversy word, is there a quarterback?
I don't even think there is one. I think it's Heineke's gig.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Until something goes really wrong, or God forbid he gets injured or something. But this guy just does something. It ignites his teammates that Carson Wentz clearly hasn't done.
He gets men to follow him, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got the drip. How do we feel about that, TJ? Them kind of copying the Vikings deal with the drip.
Who was the player on the Vikings who got really offended by the fact that they did that? First of all, let's be honest, that was Ryan Fitzmagic's gig to start with, right? He was the first one kind of doing that.
Yeah.
So if you're biting anyone's style, it was his. But yeah, why not, man? Go out, have fun. You won a football game. I just thought the funnier optic was, them flying coach with, trash bags full of ice and beer sitting in their tray table.
That is a short flight from Philadelphia to Washington.
Yeah, that is true.
And he's going to drink
30 minutes.
And he's going to drink an 18-pack in that time. That's some Wade Boggs level type stuff right there to Taylor Heineke that you have to respect.
Also, Chris, when we started the show, Susie said she got called in because Rich is under the weather, and she's like the Taylor Heineke, and I said, whoa. No disrespect to Taylor Heineke,
Carson Wentz?
Because Susie's got statues. She's got accolades. I'm like, she's a little bit higher than us just calling in Taylor Heineke, but I couldn't really find the right, quarterback to represent what it was like to be able to call her in.
I was trying to create a narrative here on Roku. I was just trying to create a narrative.
You're the starting quarterback for our show now?
Could I be the Tom Brady to the Drew Bledsoe?
That would be more accurate than Heineke, I would think.
I'm just thinking. I'm spinning wheels here, live on the air.
That's all we've been doing for 40 minutes.
That's what we do. We've been doing this for 11 years.
Which brings up me. I'm the air of bone that I have to pick sometimes.
Here we go.
We take a break first and do this afterwards.
It'll be quick, because I think we'll all agree with this. Okay. On social media, you always see these people who are content creators and influencers. And we're creating 15 hours a day of live, unscripted content. Why are we not content?
Is anybody paying attention, though? People have to pay attention.
Yeah, those people
get
paid a lot of money for some reason, Susie. And what we just did juggling for 15 minutes, no one will ever call us content creators, but that's what we do every day. Maybe it's because we do it, so we don't need to call ourselves.
Just updating in real time, we have 484,466 subscribers on YouTube, and we thank every single one of you.
We are glad that you are here for this today.
Creating content.
How are you? We're creating content right now. Nick Bosa ahead here on the show today. Dan Patrick here ahead on the show today. Stephen Colbert on the show today. It's kind of exciting.
It's a pickleball
conversation. And I am asking all of you to tweet in and call, because I am so fascinated with this week's Taylor Swift situation when she broke the internet.
Hit us up.
Because people were waiting all day. Did I get Taylor Swift? Yeah, she's calling in. T-Swift's calling in.
Hey, that would be the biggest flex of all.
By the way, Chris, would that surprise you, though?
Not at all.
No, that was a legit question you had, by the way.
It's Susie Shue. Would you text in?
Not at all.
Del Tufo would be so jealous.
Del Tufo would be jealous.
Wait, how's it go? It's me. Hi. I'm the problem, it's me. I'm like, that sounds a little familiar.
You're asking me to sing a Taylor Swift song?
It's a great song.
It's one thing I can't do.
Oh, no.
I can do impressions, sing some songs.
That's also a thing on TikTok and Instagram where it's like, I buy too many sneakers, and it's like, it's me. The problem.
Hi,
I'm
exactly. Okay.
Yeah, that's what that's saying.
Gotcha.
That's T-Swift, baby.
T-Sizzle, okay.
So I'm asking all of you to tweet in, to call in, text in, whatever. I'm so curious about, would you spend a whole day wasting a day of your life to get tickets to a concert? And if you were willing to do this, what would it be?
Some of the responses we've gotten on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's on fire.
Beatles reunion, Garth Brooks, Led Zeppelin, Elvis, Queen with Freddie Mercury, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Foo Fighters.
We're going to come to that, and we're going to give the people credit for taking the time in their busy day to tweet in. But first, we're going to take a break. This is the Rich Eisen Show on Roku on Radio. Don't go anywhere. Listen to the NFL on the NFL app, on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Chris Brockman, sneaky good game tonight here at Titans Packers.
Yeah, you know, really interesting game. Green Bay, you know, that's kind of been the narrative this week, is they're back on track. Aaron Rodgers looked good. Christian Watson, like, breakout game.
Breakout, yeah.
And, the running game's been nice. Randall Cobb, I think, is going to be back tonight. And then you got the Titans, who are just nobody ever talks about. You know, Mike Vrabel just kind of does his thing with his, you know, crazy cartoon clown house that he's got going on. And Derrick Henry is just throwing dudes out the club. And Ryan Tannehill's back. And we still don't really know any of their receivers, but they just kind of plod along, win games. They're in the playoff mix. And really curious to see what kind of goes down tonight. Like, does the Green Bay, does the momentum carry over from Sunday into this game and Aaron Rodgers starts looking like Aaron Rodgers? Or does Tennessee just kind of grind the life out of them running the football and, you know, it's kind of a methodical, low-scoring game tonight and they just kind of sneak out a win like they always do? Like, I'm really curious to see what happens tonight.
Yeah, if I'm Vrabel, I'm just like, here, Derek, here's the ball. Keep running. Well, what do you do, TJ?
I mean, look, coming off of that Dallas game, right, the running game for the Packers did look really great. When you've got those two hosses back there, man, you know, that's a luxury, obviously. But I think that something snapped inside of Christian Watson. And I think, you know, Chris, that's the moment. You had such a bad start dropping balls. Even to the game, he dropped two balls against the Cowboys to start the game. But when you get fed like that and you get to kind of go off, that's got to do something inside to you. And so, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm rooting for the Cowboys. But when he caught that first touchdown, as the ball was in the air and I saw it was going to him, I literally was like, please, kid, don't drop this. Because I know mentally what that could do. He would just get stomped. Now, I wasn't in favor of him catching two more touchdowns as the game went on. But I think maybe now this team has turned the corner. I always say Aaron Rodgers makes throws that I've never seen anyone else make. So if the running game is moving and now he's got some trust in the receiver or two, if I'm a Packers fan, I got to be excited.
And that's the thing. Green Bay is now 4-6. They're right there. They're the ninth seed right now in the NFC standings. They're behind the Commanders. We just talked to Ron Rivera. They're a game back of them. San Francisco's 5-4. You know, they play Monday night. It's going to be really interesting. Like, the battle for that seventh seed in the NFC, I think, is on. You know, a lot of people think that Seattle's not going to hold on to their lead in the NFC West, that San Francisco is, as they get healthier, is going to eventually catch them. So, you know, let's assume that for the sake of this conversation. And now it's Seattle, it's Washington, it's Green Bay. Can Atlanta get in the mix? Can Arizona get back in the mix? All fighting for that one playoff spot, and it is going to be a dynamite second half of the year when it comes to this. It's going to be great.
And if you could put that back up, Mike Hoskins, if you could put that one page up with the standings, I wasn't expecting to see the Bucs at 5-5, the Rams at 3-6. I think they're getting their QB back from concussion protocol, I believe.
Yeah, but it's almost too little too late for the Rams. With Cooper Kupp going on IR with the ankle injury.
That's
just wondering, like, what can they do offensively to move the ball down the field and to score points? Like, Cooper Kupp has just been everything for them this year, even with the struggles of Matt Stafford. The running game has just been
non-existent,
a carousel of guys from Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. And now Kieran Williams is getting his run. And it's just, you know, I'm kind of ruling the Rams out now at this point. I think it's, you look at the teams with 4 wins and the teams with 5 wins. Tampa Bay's there. I mean, I think they're going to hit their stride as well. That's kind of been the talk all week, TJ. It's the 12s have gotten right. Aaron Rodgers has gotten right. Tom Brady's gotten right with 2 straight wins. And they play in the worst division in football, arguably. So I think the Bucs are fine. They're just going to roll. Remember when they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they were 7-5, and everyone wondered what was going on. Yep. Here they're 5-5. We're kind of having those same questions. But you think as they get healthier, Julio Jones scored a touchdown in Germany. He looked good. As the run game comes along, looks like Rashad White is going to take control of that backfield, TJ.
Mm-hmm. And that's your guy, man.
That's my guy.
I preaching him from preseason.
Yeah, he was my Ramondre Stevenson, like you, for last year. And I just think, It's going to come down to those teams that we just mentioned. It's Seattle, it's Washington, it's Green Bay. Sadly, I don't think I have faith in the Falcons, but I think it's those three teams for the final seed. It's going to be really fun to watch.
Like those two QB12s in the Bay, you know, I know a lot of early in the season people were worried and they were down. You can't count. These guys are just like heavyweight boxers, right? You know, back in the days of boxing when heavyweight fight, when fights went 15 rounds, you know, like that's a long fight. There'd be sometimes Ali wouldn't win every round if you watch an Ali fight, but come 13, 14, 15, that's when he got his strength back. That's when he hit his stride. That's when, you know, he couldn't be solved. And I kind of feel like Brady and Rogers are like, you know, they're old-time heavyweights, and you can't count them out of a fight.
Last night, by the way, speaking of the 12s, Cooper was in bed. He was trying to read one of the programs that Rich brought back from Munich in German. So here he is, an 11-year-old, trying to read this. And, he's just doing, you know, and he's like, 12s. And he said 12s in a German accent, which I really appreciated that he went the extra effort to try to sound Germanic. But guess what? He's like, Mom, can you read this to me? I'm like, no, I can't.
But you speak several languages.
I do.
So it's like possible you could have, you know?
Yeah, I can say ausgezeichnet, which means amazing. Oh. Ausgezeichnet. That's about it.
How many letters is that for the word amazing?
So
like,
many.
Like amazing is what, 7 letters? Like, why can't we get, like, correlation, like 7 letter to 7 letter. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't think it works like that.
Sounds difficult. What are we doing?
No.
German is always like the most aggressive sounding language anyway. Like could be saying the most pleasant thing in the world to you and it makes you want to like take for cover.
One last thing on this game.
Guten Morgen.
The Packers are favored by 3. Should they be?
I mean, who's the home team today?
In Green Bay. It's Tennessee at Green Bay. Should they be favored?
You know, Chris, the thing about the Titans is you don't know what Titans team you're going to get. One day you're going to get a 230-yard, you know, breaking other men's souls Derrick Henry. And then what do you have last week? He had less than
like 50 yards
rushing.
One of his worst games of the year.
You just never know sometimes what you're going to get with this squad.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
So that's a yes? You think the Packers should be favored?
Probably. They're on a little bit of a roll, I would think. That was a big win. I mean, a roll. They won one game.
Speaking of breaking souls, Nick Bosa coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Don't go anywhere.
We'll be back right after this quick break.
Susie, that was well done. That was nice.
Did you like how I just
that was nice.
I dragged you there? Because I thought TJ was going to start. I thought he was going to go past the break.
No, I will say TJ's gotten a lot better about that.
Right.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was expounding on something. So I'm like, wait a minute. I better rescue us before we lose our radio audience.
Well, you know, when I first started, like for the first month I was on air, I didn't have an earpiece. I didn't have a monitor. I kind of knew when the radio outs were.
You have a clock, but you wouldn't really look at it.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention, you know. So I've come a long way, I'd have to say. Yeah.
You have come a long way, baby.
I was like, wait a minute, how am I supposed to know anything? I don't know, I'm over here naked.
you're just there to look pretty, TJ.
Well, then you hired
where's
the wrong
candle?
Person for that.
Yeah, where is the candle?
Is the right candle here. Lit?
Sure, baby, come on. Woods Creek's candles.
Because usually you have a whole ceremony to light the candle to start the show. Or is that only when I bring booze?
Well, we just jumped right into the show today because we didn't know what we were doing.
Well, we had to keep the show afloat. I mean, we've got Rich home, feeling under the weather. Brockman was
expanding our reach.
Somewhere expanding the brand. And coming in without that. Coffee, I would have brought him coffee. I brought croissants.
But if I stopped for coffee, I would have been even more late than I already was.
I mean, TJ and I were holding it up.
The
weight of the world is on our shoulders.
Chris,
we
were creating content.
Yeah, we were content creators.
That's right. Kind of for $485,000.
Yeah, well, for something. I know I'm influential in one place, and that's at my house. So a lot more Rich Eisen Show when we come back. DP will be calling in the 11 o'clock hour. That'd be 2 o'clock on the Eastern Time.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.